Book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 1. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 1. Page 842, if you have a Scofield Bible. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 1. I want to teach tonight on the subject, a burden versus a call. A burden versus a call. Ezekiel 3:1. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it. It was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, Son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech, and of a hard language, but to the house of Israel. I want you to notice down in verse number 14. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness and the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. Then I came to them of the captivity at Tel Aviv, that dwelt by the river of Kibar, and I sat where they sat, and remained there astonished. That word astonished could be called compassionate, with empathy, with sympathy, among them, 7 days. Our Father, we have read thy word. In a few minutes, we'll be explaining it. I pray that he who authored it shall be our director as we teach the word of God tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, our Father, bless us as we study the word of God tonight and the truths and the principles therefrom. Amen. Now, tonight, you might be tempted to take notes. I'm going to ask you not to. I'm going to give you quite a few things, statements, but we're taping this tonight. I'm going to make it available for you. I want to talk tonight on the subject, a burden versus a call. There's nothing quite as overrated. Now, I want you to follow me carefully. There's nothing quite as overrated as the subject of a burden. And tonight, I'm going to bring the burden down to the level where it's supposed to be. Nothing wrong with the burden, but the burden is highly overrated, and the importance of a burden in serving God is highly exaggerated. Now I want to read a letter to start off with. I told you about this letter last Sunday morning, Sunday night. A pastor from California called me on the phone, and he said, Dr. Hiles, I feel a burden to go to Far East. I won't tell you what country it is, but it's Japan or China and that section of the world. And I talked to him a few minutes, and I said, now, sir, I don't believe you ought to go. He said, but I have a burden to go, and I believe God wants us to go. And I said, I have no doubt in my mind that you're making the mistake of your life. And I even said something like this. I said often, I'd risk my salvation on the fact that I'm right in this matter. He's a young man. He was not a exceptional young man, but he was in his, I imagine, his mid-30s. Pastored a successful church in California, built it from almost nothing to being a fine church. And so he went. And I told him several times he's making a mistake. I got this letter from him, dated December 9. Dear Dr. Hiles, I was just thinking about our telephone conversation 2 years ago this month. I am long overdue in saying, and this next part's underlined, you were right. Next time, I will listen more carefully. And he says a few other things that not apply to this, and close it saying, have a wonderful Christmas and New Year, your wiser friend. Isn't that a terrible time to get wise when you're several thousands of miles across the water outside the will of God? Isn't that a terrible time to get wise or wiser when your children are with you in a foreign country outside the will of God? Isn't that a terrible time to get wiser after you have resigned your church that you'd built from all wonderful church, built from almost nothing? Isn't that a terrible time to get wiser? Now, I'm thinking right now, and I hesitate to say this because a few of you will know who I'm talking about, and I have the highest regard for the man, highest regard. I know a preacher who built one of the finest churches in America, who decided he was going to take a tour of people to the country of Korea. He did. Went to Korea. And I don't care what foreign country you go to, ladies and gentlemen, if it's an underprivileged foreign country especially, you're going to get a burden for it. And so this pastor, who could have sent hundreds of missionaries to Korea in his ministry, got a burden for Korea. So he comes back and then he decides to go to Korea and spend several weeks at a time. And I said to him, I said, Doc, you shouldn't do that. You're going to lose your burden for your church. You don't watch out. You're not going to build a big church, a great church, and spend week after week after week, a year in a foreign country. You're not going to do it. But he went ahead and did it and kept making the tours and got burdened about Korea. And in so doing, he lost the burden for his own church. And the last I heard, he's out of the ministry now. And I dare say there was a time when if the top 25 fundamental preachers in America were listed, he'd been high on the list. I mean, a good man. I love him. I feel nothing but love for him. But the mistake he made was he got burdened, and the burden was misunderstood. I could tell you the names of a dozen men tonight who've gotten burdened. Say, for example, let's take New York City. Any Christian goes to New York City and doesn't get burdened as cold as can be. But because you go to New York City and get burdened for it, or because somebody comes to this inner city of Chicago and gets burdened for it, that does not necessarily mean you're supposed to go there. The truth is, one of Satan's, now follow me carefully, one of Satan's most dangerous weapons is getting us to go somewhere or make a decision to move somewhere because of a burden. When I first started traveling years ago, man, I got burdened for everywhere I went. I'm a sentimental person. I have strong feelings and build strong ties. And I'd go to church for 2 days. By the time I'd leave, I'd cry when I left and said goodbye. I got so wrapped up in the thing. I'd like to build a church here. I went down to Jamaica. Well, they had to pry me back up here. I wanted to build a church in Jamaica. We were in Egypt, and I preached in Egypt. And they said you couldn't get anybody saved either. I preached one night in Egypt and had 10 people saved, just one night. I got a burden for Egypt. I preached at the church in Jerusalem while I was there years ago. And we had many folks saved right there in Jerusalem, just a few blocks from Calvary. Boy, I could have gone there. I was in Monterrey, Mexico not long ago, a year or so ago. And, brother, I'd like to go there. And I have a burden for Monterey, and I have a burden for Egypt, and I have a burden for Jerusalem, have a burden for Jamaica. But you see what the devil does. The devil gets us burdened about something, and because we're burdened about something, then we mistake that as being the will of God. Now, I want to say this. Hear me carefully. God never leads anybody anywhere by burden. Hear me again. God never leads anybody anywhere by burden. Now, many people have left the will of God because they've gotten a burden for some place. Now, I want to give you several observations tonight, and these are so vital. I hope you'll get the tape. You need the information, and we need the money. So, hope you get the... Now, observation number one, hear me carefully. The call comes before the burden. The call comes before the burden. You don't get a burden until you know you're going. Now, I'm not talking about preaching now. I'm talking about anybody moving anywhere or about... Somebody said, Brother House, I've been asked to take a certain Sunday school class. I don't have any burden for that age. Don't make a difference. The call comes before the burden. A while ago, in our story about Ezekiel, God came to Ezekiel and said, Ezekiel, I want you to go and preach to the house of Israel. Now, after he had gone, he said, take this roll and put it in your mouth
And God called him, and Ezekiel decided to go. And after the call and the decision to go, then Ezekiel went and sat among the people for 7 days and got his burden. So the burden came after the call and after the acceptance of the call. Let me give you a scripture. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, what? Say it. Bringing his sheaves with him. Now notice, it does not say, he that weepeth and goeth forth. Doesn't say that. You go and then you weep. The going comes before the weeping. So the call of God comes, and by the way, before the burden ever comes, there's a call of God and the surrender to that call, because God doesn't want you going cattywampus everywhere and going someplace every time you get a burden for someplace. See, you don't go somewhere because you had a burden. You go somewhere because of a divine call from God Almighty or leadership from God. So God gives the call. That says, he that goeth forth and weepeth. Didn't say he that weepeth and goeth forth. You go first. Why go? God said go. Because you have a burden? No. Having a burden is the worst reason in the world to go soul winning. I often say this when I preach across the country places. I said, I would not come here to inspire you to go soul winning. Because if I just inspired you to go soul winning, the first door that was slammed in your face the next morning, you would lose your inspiration. But I'd like to come here and teach you this. Because God says you're supposed to go soul winning, you're supposed to go soul winning. You see? And that kind of a decision keeps you going soul winning. Now, God gives the leadership of the call, and then you accept the leadership of the call, and then God gives you the burden. Let me say this. Number two, the basis is obedience. Let me give you God's divine order. One, a call. Two, obedience. Three, sight. Four, burden. Let me give it again. One, call. Two, obedience. Three, sight. Four, a burden. Illustration. Paul was called on the Damascus Road to be a vessel to go preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Now, he had, far as I know, he hadn't seen many Gentiles. Paul had been, no doubt, a member of the Sanhedrin. He was a Jew by birth, had grown up in Jerusalem, and God said to Paul, I want you to be a vessel, a messenger, to take the gospel to the Gentiles. Now, wait a minute. Paul had no burden whatsoever. Paul got the call of God and yielded to the call of God, and after that, he got a burden. The burden came after the call. Let's take the story of Philip and the eunuch. You think if Philip one day went down to visit in the Gaza in that desert, while he's down there visiting, he saw this black man? And this black man said, Amen! And yes, sir! And you think Philip said, I've got a burden that black... No, he didn't have... God's Holy Spirit led Philip to go down to Gaza, and Philip didn't have the foggiest idea in the world why he was going down there. He didn't go because of his burden, but he got down there and saw this fellow reading the Bible, and he got a burden for him after the call of God, after God's leadership, and after he obeyed the leadership and the call of God. Let's take Gideon. Gideon was called by God to lead the Israelites against the Midianites as a general. But Gideon had no burden. Gideon was threshing wheat behind the wine press, scared to death, sucking his thumb. He have to know the Hebrew to know that he's sucking his thumb, but I know that. But he had no burden at all. God called Gideon. Gideon answered the call. God gave Gideon the burden. I wish I could tell you the thousands and thousands of people that I know myself who've left the will of God and left the plan of God because they had a burden or a compassion for somebody. But that is not reason to leave. If you're right with God, you'd have compassion upon anybody that needed help and needed the gospel. How dangerous. Take the story of Peter in the house of Cornelius. Peter was up there praying on top of the house. And all of a sudden he was called to go to the house of Cornelius. He didn't know Cornelius. He'd never seen him. He had no burden of Cornelius' household. He was up there minding his own business when God came along and said, I want you to go and take the gospel to the house of Cornelius. And the burden came after the call, after the leadership and after the obedience. I said first, the call comes before the burden. I said second, the basis of the will of God is obedience to the call. I said now number three, the call of God and the will of God is like salvation. I want you to keep looking at me now. The call of God and the will of God is like salvation. You get saved in this order. Facts, faith, feeling. Facts, faith, feeling. Now please, listen. Please don't take notes. You're disobeying if you do. And I don't want you to. I beg you to cooperate and look right at me. Now, I got something to tell you. I'm trying to change your life, but I can't do it if you're sitting there looking at a piece of paper. And you may be making out your list of things you've got to exchange tomorrow, as far as I know. I want you to hear me now. I mean that. Now, listen carefully. You got saved when you heard the facts. Now, the feeling didn't come first. If the feeling came first, I seriously doubt the fact that you got it. If all of a sudden you were sitting in church one day and an electric spark hit you and you look at do like that and you fell on your face, I doubt very seriously if you got saved. Because you can't be saved unless first you get the facts. You've got to know that you're a sinner. You've got to know that sinners are lost. You've got to know that Jesus, the virgin-born Son of God, paid the price for sinners on the cross. You've got to know that He died in your place and rose again after 72 hours. You've got to know that. Now listen to me. That's the facts. And you've got to know the facts to be saved. You're not saved because God knocks you over the head. You're saved because you put your faith in Christ and accept His gift of eternal life. Now, first, the facts. A soul winner provides that. Second, the faith. You provide that. Third, the feeling. God provides that. And a feeling about salvation that is not based on the knowledge of the facts and the faith is not salvation at all. For example, I don't like songs like, I was there when it happened and I ought to know. Now, that doesn't move me. You're not saved because you're there when it happened. You're saved because somebody told you the facts. You put your faith in Christ and God gave you the feeling that you're His child. Now, the same person that preaches salvation by grace will turn around and preach the will of God by feeling. You see, just as God leads you to Him by first the facts, then the faith, then the feeling, God leads you with Him the same way. Now listen to me. I have been to church after church after church across this nation to preach. And I have sat right there on the platform ready to preach. And I had no burden whatsoever. Truth is, I was tired. Honest truth is, I wasn't in the mood to preach. Our truth is, I'd like to be home taking a nap, or in my room taking a nap, maybe. I didn't feel like it. Maybe I didn't feel well. But I'm going to preach. Why? Because God Almighty gave me a call. That's why. And I'm obeying what God said. Now, I had no burden for that service that night, but when I got up and obeyed the call of God and began to preach and obey God's call, all of a sudden a burden swelled in my soul, because a burden is a gift of God in response to obedience to His command. Boy, this is good. Now you listen to me. You listen to me. Don't you go off half-cocked somewhere and get out of God's will. Listen. I hate to take New York City because, but that's the place everybody goes. I couldn't count on my fingers and toes the preachers I know that have gone to New York City saying God led them up there, who bounced all the way out of the ministry from New York City, or bounced into some false doctrine, or failed and wouldn't come back and admit they failed. Why? Because they got a burden for New York City. But that's not enough, ladies and gentlemen. There's a will of God for your life, and God's will may be down in the deserts of Arizona somewhere, in some little town with 500 people. And I'm saying that the burden is not the reason to leave or go. The burden is given by God in honor of your agreement to do what He leads you to do. I said, number one, the call comes before the burden. I said, number two, the basis is obedience. I said, number three, it is just like salvation. Number four, a burden can leave. A burden can leave. I know a preacher that went to one of the most needy cities in America. Now hear me carefully. This preacher had a burden for that city. It's one of the largest cities in this nation. He went to that place. By the way, in the whole section of town, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people near his church. Not one single good gospel preaching church at all. And this preacher went. Halliburton, he came to me two or three years later. And he said, Dr. Howells, I think I'm supposed to leave. And I said, why? He said, lost my burden. I said, you're not supposed to go in the first place because you got a burden. Supposed to go because God led you. But he said, don't have a burden anymore. Listen. If I had refused to do everything God led me to do in my lifetime because I had no burden, I wouldn't have done half the things I've done. Ladies and gentlemen, the reason you're supposed to do what God says is because of character. Because of responsibility. Because of duty. Because of integrity. There are times you don't feel like coming to choir practice. Have no burden for the stupid choir, especially that bunch over there. Brother John, there are times you have no burden to visit the hospitals and the sick folks. But you do it. There are times you get up in the morning and go be with somebody early in the morning, maybe, when they're having serious surgery. You don't want to go. There's no burden. But you get there, and you see the person you love, and see the need, and the burden comes. But you don't go there and get the burden first. You obey first. Oh, let me tell you something. Nothing is overrated in the will of God is this matter of burden. Burden is God's gift to people that do what He says to do, but you do what you do because He said to do it. Burden can leave. This preacher left. I wept when he left. One of the most needy areas in this nation. He left because he had a burden. But you're not supposed to go because you get a burden or leave because you lose your burden. Burdens come and go. Obedience is supposed to stay. Number five, obeying a burden. Oh, this is so vital. Obeying a burden often causes compromise. Now, follow me carefully. Obeying a burden often causes compromise. What do you mean? Okay, I'll give you an example. God called Paul to take the gospel to the what? Gentile. Paul, he carried the gospel to Europe, and because Europe got it, we got it. But Paul had a burden for Jerusalem. Now, Paul wanted, he said, my prayer to God and heart's desire for Israel is that they might be saved. He wanted to go to Jerusalem. He wanted to go so badly and reach Jerusalem. You know what he did? He who wrote Colossians 2 that said you shouldn't observe holy days, you shouldn't go back to the old Jewish ritual. He that wrote Galatians 4 and said that you shouldn't observe the old ritual and the beggarly things law. He, whoever where he went and wrote, said, get out of Judaism and get to Jesus. Paul had a burden for Jerusalem that was so great that he took a Jewish vow himself and had his head shaved. See, that's what you think. I'm bald-headed. I've had my head shaved because of my burden for this area. Paul took a Jewish vow. Of all the people in the Bible, I can't understand taking a Jewish vow. Paul's the last one. I can't figure it out. That Paul. Why? Why did Paul take the Jewish vow? Okay, same reasons churches that get burdens for areas and for people trim their standards and trim their convictions because they think they can reach more souls if they trim their standards. And when a burden becomes a big thing instead of obedience, then before you know it, you yourself will get such a burden. I've got to reach him. I've got to reach him. Then you'll start using your own human reasoning about how the best way to reach him is. And before you know it, you'll say, if we reach him, we're going to have to use their kind of music with religious words to it. And so before you know it, you're using some dirty rock beat to godly words. Before you know it, you're having your hair growing long, getting you a coffee shop somewhere, and so you can reach the hippie crowd. Why? I think it's sincere. I think that there is a burden. But you don't reach folks that way. You don't reach folks by burden. You reach folks by obedience. So what happens? Churches begin to trim their standards. Why? A burden. If a burden is the motivating factor in your service for God, then you have no integrity in it at all. You are operating on feeling just like the fellow is operating who thinks he's saved because it hit him from the top side with an electric shock.
I said, number one, the call comes before the burden. I said, number two, the basis is obedience. I said, number three, it is just like salvation. I said, number four, a burden can leave. Number five, obeying a burden often causes compromise. Number six, now follow this carefully, a burden is usually fleshly. A burden is usually fleshly. Fellas, you've been to Monterey. Okay. You've seen those folks down there in those little huts. Did you get a burden? Yes, you did. Listen, that man could leave First Baptist Church and go to Mexico if he followed his burden. Boy, now, wait a minute. You ever been to New York City? You have. Did you get a burden? Yeah. Okay, now, wait a minute. You know why you got burdened? You didn't get burdened because of the many unsaved folks there. You got burdened because of the physical plight of the unsaved folks there. Follow me carefully. Why doesn't anybody ever go to Palm Springs, California and get a burden? The gospel is more foreign there than it is in New York City even. Go to Palm Springs. All those multi-millionaires and movie stars that live there in their vacation homes and so forth, you know, the richest. Nobody's ever been to Palm Springs and come back and, oh, I've got a burden. You know why? They're just as unsaved as folks in Brooklyn. What's the burden about? Not the unsaved condition, but the physical condition of the unsaved people. Are you listening to me? You see? I'm saying that the burden itself, nothing wrong with it. It's fleshly. Good night. The food you ate for lunch is fleshly. Nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with it. And when I say fleshly, I don't mean sinful. I'm saying that our burden we have for a certain place 999 times out of 1,000, if not 1,000 times out of 1,000, is caused by a fleshly compassion for their physical needs. Go to Palm Beach, Florida. Drive down those streets and see those homes of multi-millionaires and stop and realize probably not one person in 1,000 in that town even knows the plan of salvation. I haven't had any of our young men go to Palm Beach, Florida and come back and say, oh, I'm broke, looking at Palm Beach, broke my heart. No, the thing that broke your heart about New York City and the Chicago ghettos. The thing that broke your heart was the little boys and girls playing barefoot on the streets when it's snowing. The thing that broke your heart was the fact that teeming millions of people that do not know Christ and you see them as they go and they're hungry and they're in trouble. I can prove it. In the richest areas of this country, hardly any fundamental preacher ever starts a church. I don't know if there is a Bible preaching church in Palm Springs, California. You go to West Palm Beach, Florida, and you'll see gospel preaching churches. That's West Palm Beach. That's where you and I live. Where the common folks live. Right across the street to Palm Beach, where the multimillionaires live, try to find a gospel preaching church. Okay, I got to hurry. A burden is usually fleshly. Number seven, it is better to ask God to control your mind about the will of God than it is to go because you have a burden. Now follow me carefully. Most great missionaries in the world went to their fields without ever having one time been to the field. Ann and Adoniram Judson did not go to India and have their heart broken for India and come back. The greatest missionaries that this world has ever known have been people that went to a country they had not seen yet. They had no burden. They had a what? A call. You go with a burden. You go because you have a burden for a foreign country. You'll be home within 3 or 4 years. But you go because you have a call and you have character to obey that call, then you will stay. Number eight, it is often a danger to see. It is often a danger to see. You think if Philip had seen the desert down there, he'd have gone? Huh? Philip went down. I'm going to look over the field. Now, bear in mind that when he got down there, that fellow wasn't, that Ethiopian wasn't there. The Ethiopian was taking a trip. Nobody was in Gaza. Suppose God, Philip said to Mrs. Philip, Miss Philip, we're going to go down there, honey. I'm going to go look at Gaza. He goes down there and sees barren desert. Not a store. Not a house. You think he'd have gone? No, he wouldn't have gone. But the call of God led him in place of the burden. I'm not against a burden. But a burden is not going to help you until you have already obeyed the call of God because you... Listen, obedience will stick, but a burden won't. I'm not against a burden. I'm against putting a burden before obedience, just like I'm against putting feeling before salvation by grace. Number nine. I'm going to get down to where some of you live now. A burden usually causes tragedy and heartache if the decision is made for that purpose. Now, please, don't misunderstand me. Somebody's going to get upset with me, and I don't want you to, but I got to say this. A couple comes in my office, have their own family, two or three children there. They said, Brother Hiles, little child on our bus route. Okay, his mom and daddy died. Little child's 4 years old, 5 years old. Brother Hiles, we want that little child to come and live with us. What do you think? And my answer is always no. No. But preacher, we have a burden, this little child. Yeah, but you also have three or four children of your own. And you're heading for trouble and tragedy. Young couple comes in to see me, 13 to 14 year old girl. No place to live. They wanted to come and live with them. Here's a 25, 26 year old couple, 13 to 14, 15 year old girl. No, I always say don't do it. But you say, Brother Hiles, have a burden. Listen, there are hundreds of thousands of teenagers and children in Chicago who need somebody to care for them. You can't take them all in your house. And the fact that you have a burden for them is not enough. Not enough. You've got to figure out some way for us to take care of those children without interrupting your family and your house and your children. Now, I want you to tell me something. You want you to tell me something. Toy on that stuff. Let me tell you something. I get paid for this. Not much, but I get paid. Now, listen carefully. You take these children into your home. You're 25, 26, 27 years old. You don't know how to rear a teenager yet. In fact, I don't know anybody of any age that does. But you don't know yet. Now please, if you're a youngster, teenager, who has been taken in somebody's home, I'm not trying to upset you at all. I'm simply saying that because some poor little kid here is hungry and has bare feet and a cold body is not reason enough for him to come live in your house. That's a burden, but that's not the will of God always. Boy, I wish I could get you to believe me on this. Number 10. The new place will always cause more burden than the old place. The place you have not been has the best chance to get you. In 1957, I preached for the first time in Chicago. I was going to preach. We stayed over at a hotel on the north side near Moody Church, north of Moody Church, a few blocks. I think it's called the North Park North something hotel. I preached one night at the Belden Avenue Baptist Church, one night at the Oak Park Bible Church, one night at the First Baptist Church of Harvey, and one night at Northside Gospel Center where Dr. Vance Latham was many years. I drove out by myself on one night to Harvey. I didn't know where the express didn't know how to get there. I just knew that Harvey was on Halstead Street. So I got on Halstead Street on the north end of Chicago. Folks, there are 16,432,918 traffic lights on Halstead Street. I drove and I drove and I drove and I drove. I could have gone the expressway. I drove from north side over towards the Wrigley Field. I drove from there all the way to Harvey on Halstead Street. By the time I got to Harvey, I had seen so much I'd never seen in my life before. Tears were streaming down my cheeks. By the time I got to Harvey, nothing. By the time I'd gotten 10 minutes down that Halstead Street, I thought about this is the town that Moody was. This is the town of Billy Sunday. This is the town of Horry Torrey. This is the town of Paul Reeder. I stopped to realize that not one single church was really going all out to try to reach these people. And my heart broke. Literally broke. But I didn't come to Chicago. 2 years later, I came to Chicago and didn't want to come. Had no burden at all. Totally lost the burden. Had no desire to come. None whatsoever. But after I got here, I got the burden. I came because God called me. I came because God led me. I did not come. When the burden was there, I didn't come. I wouldn't trust the burden, but I'll trust the call of God. I'll trust the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And so I came. Now, let me review these things quickly. Number one, the call comes before the burden. Number two, the basis is obedience. Number three, it is like salvation. The facts, faith, feeling, and in the will of God, it is always the leadership of the Holy Spirit, or the call, then the obedience, and then God gives you the feeling, which is the burden. Number four, a burden can leave. And if you go somewhere on the basis of a burden, then you will stay as long as you have the burden, and you'll be outside the will of God. You'll leave. Five, obeying a burden often causes compromise, like Paul and the Jewish vow. Six, a burden is usually fleshly. It's caused by a pity and a compassion for the condition of unsaved people physically and not necessarily their condition spiritually. Seven, it is best to ask God to control your mind. Eight, it is often a danger to see first. Nine, obeying the burden usually causes tragedy and heartache. 10, the new place will always... Listen, old places you're used to haven't got a chance. If you're going to follow by burden, you'll never stay anywhere. I'm going to close with this. If I listed the greatest men in America, the greatest men in America who are preachers, I would list some mighty big men, and you'd know them. But I'd put in that list the name of a fella, it'd shock you. You'd know him, but it'd shock you. I think one of the greatest, most gifted, most talented, most sincere, most spiritual men of God in America today. But the fella has never built anything much. And you know why? Because everywhere he goes, he wants to stay. And you know why? Because he loves people. And everywhere he goes, he gets a burden for it. And because of that, he's never stayed anywhere very long. Why? He's lived his whole life following his burden instead of following the call of God. So the biggest burden in your life ought to be God's leadership. Well, you say, preacher, how do I find God's leadership? You don't. You don't. You try to find it, it'll forsake you. You just stay busy where you are. Stay busy where you are. And if you get a burden, it may get in your way. Because you'll mistake the burden 99 times out of 100 for the will of God, the call of God, and the plan of God. Shall we stand?